Hey friends, welcome to the Radical Radiance podcast. I am your host, Rebecca George, and I'm so thrilled to be with you today as we sit down and talk with one of our new friends, Rayshon Copeland, all about his new book, No Turning Back. I was so encouraged by this conversation. I think you will be too. He is such a joy-filled person, and I just really enjoyed getting to know him. One thing I want you to know about the conversation is we talk about parts of Rayshon's testimony that include suicide, and I want you to know that going into the conversation so that if that is a triggering subject for you or this just needs to be an episode that you choose not to listen to, I just want you to know that up front. So before we get to it, I want to share one of our sponsors with you, the Shine Bright Journal. The Shine Bright Journal is a free 100-page downloadable resource that you can go grab today at radicalradiance.live. And I just can't wait to hear about how God speaks to you through it as you take a look at His Word and learn more about what it looks like to radiate the heart of Jesus. Now, let's welcome our new friend, Rayshon, to the show. Rayshon, I'm so thrilled to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining me.
Rebecca, thank you for having me. I've been waiting for this. Red Bull excited.
Me too. I just told you, I missed you on your last book launch, and I'm so excited to get to talk about your next book, No Turning Back. That's why we're here today. But I have heard you speak on so many of my friends' shows, and I can't believe that we haven't had a conversation yet. So this feels like this is long overdue. And yes. So for my people who don't know you yet, you have been a part of some really cool things, and God has done just so much in your life. And I have heard a little bit of that story and pieced it together on other people's shows, but I would love for you to just share. And I know this is such a loaded question, and I hate when people ask me this question, so I'm just apologizing in advance, but I just want to introduce my people to you. Tell them a little bit of your story, of what led you to writing, and all of the ministry that God has allowed you to be a part of.
Absolutely, Rebecca. Well, thank you for asking that question. Like, it's been a journey. I'm so blown away that I'm even a Christian right now, better yet, like a Christian author, influencer, minister style person. Like, I'm like blown away by how God sort of used all my brokenness, all my sin, all my failures, and sort of redeemed it all for His glorious purpose. But years ago, before I even, you know, was doing stuff online, I found myself as an athlete trying to just find a way to become you know, just the best person, the best athlete I knew I could be. And I ended up getting shot down. Like, I was literally shot down, left for dead one night, you know, and all my dreams of being this amazing athlete, like, sort of dwindled and faded away. And then what was cool about that, you know, is that God, like, opened up my eyes to see, like, hey, one, dude, you're far from perfect. And number two, you can die. The brevity of life, like, Your life is but a vapor. And that was revealed to me in one of my most vulnerable moments of my life. And I really just am thankful that like gave a nurse an opportunity to plant a seed while I was quote unquote on my deathbed about Jesus. And what happened from there, I ended up going to this amazing university. God like healed me, you know, and I wouldn't say I was converted to Christ, but there were seeds planted. So I ended up going to this university after being healed, played football again in, you know, University of Kansas, and I ended up transferring down to Division II. But here's what happened that was amazing. I joined the FCA program, and there was teachers and ministers and friends who would just, like, share with me about Jesus and the saving message of, like, you're a work in progress, you know, and someone whom God delights and stuff like that. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like that's for me, right? Because it wasn't at that time, because I wouldn't call myself a child of God at that time. But what was wild is that they were speaking into who I was becoming, not necessarily who I was in that moment. And that changed everything. I found myself, you know, just thinking through that and processing. But while I was just acting the fool, having sex out of marriage, you know, I had a baby out of wedlock. I was still running and gunning, acting the fool. I had some drugs that I was dealing on the side of playing sports. Like, I was still living a reckless life. But when I realized that I wasn't going to make it to the NFL. I wasn't good enough. Like, literally, I had this opportunity to join the military to sort of prove a point to my dad that, hey, I can almost, you know, join the military and outrank my father. Maybe this will win his approval. So let me do that. So I jumped in the ROTC at the college I was at, and I knew I had to provide for that baby. And I end up, commissioned as an Army officer. And I felt good about myself, but at the end of the day, I was still discontent. See my cousin out in LA doing this thing. And I was like, man, he's in movies with Zac Efron. He's doing all this amazing stuff in movies like American Pie. And I'm like, he's the only chocolate brother on the screen. I want to be an actor now, right? Like, I'm about to leave here, uproot myself, go AWOL in the military, which is not a good idea. And I literally go out to LA, left post, and began to ride this rocket ship of social media fame where I got a name, got a little bit of money in my bank account, and became a hype man for a guy named Soulja Boy. And I found myself in a place where, you know, everything on the outside felt right. It looked right. It tasted right. Everything was great, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But inwardly, I was empty. I was in a place where I was tormented day and night just by my past and by trying to win approval and acceptance of people rather than resting in God's acceptance and his love for me. My path and my prize was in the world, but not on Christ. So when I found myself at, I was on the literally verge of suicide. I put a pistol in my mouth one night. I'm shaking and I'm sweating. All of a sudden, you know, this young girl from Baylor reaches out of nowhere. And I put the gun down in this dark room, pick up this phone that lit up. And there was a Bible verse from this girl named Genesis who spoke to me in my darkest hour that said, oh, how wide, how deep, how vast the love of God is. And nothing in all creation can separate us from this love that we find in Christ Jesus. And I started weeping and weeping when I read it. But that's where the journey sort of began with me coming to Christ. Yeah. And he met me right where I was. And he didn't keep me there, but he let me out of it. And it was the most joyful moment. But then again, things got tough. So that's where the next book coming out, like No Turning Back, really themes around is like God doesn't want, He'll give you everything you need to fulfill what he's calling you to, and he'll empower you today to glorify him and make his son known. And we just need to stay faithful and, you know, stay humble, stay dependent, and he'll lead the way. So,
hey friends, quick break in this conversation to remind you of something. If you are loving the show, you're loving the conversations we're having, it would mean the absolute world to me if you would leave a rating and a written review on Apple Podcasts for Radical Radiance. When that happens, when more of those happen, the show gets put in front of more women, and in turn, it allows them the opportunity to take part in conversations that will show them more about what it looks like to radiate the heart of Jesus. And I can't think of anything better than that. So it would mean the world to me if you would take just 2 minutes of your time and leave a rating and a written review. I'd love to hear what you think. Now, let's get back to the conversation. Yeah.
That's what I've been learning.
Wow. Okay. There are so many people that you mentioned in your story, and I just want to take a second to encourage our people with this. There are so many people that you mentioned, from the nurse that cared for you after you were shot, all the way to this girl who sent you this Instagram DM in, you know, one of your darkest hours. And, you know, it was the Holy Spirit, right, that was convicting you and drawing you to Christ, right? We know that.
Yes.
But God, through his Holy Spirit, used those two women and many others, like you've said, all along your journey.
Absolutely.
To plant seeds in you of God's truth and the gospel. And sometimes, and I know even in my own life, I'll pour in and pour out so much into somebody. And sometimes we just want to see the fruit, right? Like we just love seeing fruit. We love to see fruit.
Yes.
And sometimes God allows us the gift of getting to see that, right? Like
absolutely.
I hope you know the name of that nurse, and I hope that she knows that you came to Christ and that you're an author and you do what you do now. I really hope she does. But she yes. may and she may not, right? Like, sometimes we won't see the fruit of that act of faith or that word that we felt the Holy Spirit putting on our hearts to share. We won't see the fruit of that until heaven.
Exactly. Right?
And so I just want to encourage somebody today who, like, you could very well be that nurse who spoke yeah. into somebody's life as they're Absolutely. Recovering from something crazy. And 10 years later, they could become a Christian author and be doing what wow. you're doing, leading people to Christ. Like, isn't that so crazy That's to think about?
So crazy to think about. Like, the Lord, almost like he uses the quote unquote most unlikely. It wasn't a Billy Graham. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, like, it wasn't any of this, you know, sort of called by God preacher who's on a stage preaching the gospel, but it was literally a nurse who had a heart, a heartfelt nurse who had, you know, just the boldness, but also the comforting sort of words to say in the darkest moment of my life that really changed yeah. the trajectory of my life years later. And someone mm-hmm. out there, just like you said, Rebecca, could be planting seeds that will flourish mm-hmm. years down the line, but you may not see it at all in that given moment. Yeah. So mm-hmm. just, that's just encouragement yeah, that's right huge. There for somebody big time.
Yeah, totally. Well, I am so excited to talk about No Turning Back. And there were several things that I thought, okay, we could like do a whole conversation on yeah. like all these things, but I'm just excited to like, we're just going to jump right in the deep end. And Absolutely. One of the things that you talk through, and I think this is going to be so helpful for so many people right now, is this thing that we wrestle with during really hard times. And we've all walked through a really hard couple of years. And that's Absolutely. This question of, is God letting me down? We've all wrestled with that at some point in time. And so I just would want to hear how you would encourage listeners to take steps towards overcoming that doubt. What does that look like when maybe we feel like God's letting us down?
Absolutely. And that is a great question. I think through all the times, you know, I've just shouted out and praised the name of Jesus and just, you know, spoke so highly of God in the moments that I felt good about what he was doing. But what happens when we're taking step by step in the journey and we see it getting better and better, but all of a sudden, you know, this hard trial comes or this great mm-hmm. tragedy strikes, or, you know, it's just hard to keep walking. In these moments when we face this disappointment, this disillusionment, this doubt, and even see someone close to us die, like the Lord is right there with us saying, not only is he with us in those moments, but he's for us. And like, we're, it doesn't yeah. take away who we are in him. Like, we're his sons, we're his daughters, we're his beloved. And it's sort of these trials and these tests, it produces this perseverance in us. And, you know, if he brought us to it, he'll sustain us through it type thing. Like, he'll lead us and he'll guide us. He'll protect us. But it doesn't look the way we think it'll look all the time. I love the verse real quick, just to share this in 1 John chapter yeah. 4. I did this in my devotional this morning, but it's actually 1 John 4, but there's also one in 1 John 5. But in one of the verses, John is saying like, hey, the whole world, everything in this world belongs to the evil one. I mean, I'm talking, it says, I'm thinking like business, school, economics, like quote unquote, it belongs to the evil one, John is saying. But he says this, but almost take heart, like greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we can be comforted mm-hmm. with that beautiful, shocking truth that like, although we're exposing and bringing to light the darkness behind a lot of the things that happen in this world, hey, take heart. Like, we literally have greater within us, which is Jesus himself mm-hmm. living inside us, the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit that empowers us to endure anything that comes to us in this world. So, and Jesus already yeah, overcame, so we can overcome type deal. We're more than victors in him. So yeah. more yeah. than conquerors.
Yeah. That's so good. It's reminding me of this story. And this, this won't be the first time I've told it on the show, but somebody's not heard it before. And
absolutely.
I was in this worship service at our church several years ago. It was before my husband and I got married. And he was already pastoring down here in South Mississippi. I was still in Knoxville, Tennessee. We had not reconnected yet or started dating yet. And I was just in this drought of like, is it ever going to be my turn? Am I ever going to get married? I was in 9 weddings before I was a bride myself, like just in the thick of your mid to late 20s without, you know, a spouse. And it was around that time where that song King of My Heart came out, you know, King of My Heart, he's the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. The verses are just gorgeous. These beautiful pictures of like who God is to us. And I remember singing those just like at the top of my lungs. And then it got to the bridge of that song where over and over again, it says, you're never going to let me down. You're never going to let me down. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
It's that part of the song. Okay. So I'm singing that part and I just remember praying like, that doesn't feel true. Like that doesn't feel true today.
Wow.
Like I do feel let down. And I just remember that day really wrestling in prayer with the Lord of like, I have taken my life circumstance, aka my singleness, and I'm trying to place what I know to be true on top of that. Like the foundation of what's in my heart and how I'm processing it is my life circumstance and not you, God.
Wow.
And so how do I flip that where the foundation of my thoughts and my heart and my heart's cry be like what I know to be true about you.
Wow,
like you're
beautiful.
Sovereign. You don't change. You're holy. You're righteous. You are for me. And then I can see my life through the lens of your character, not see your character through the lens of
that
my
life. That is so good. You breaking it down, Rebecca. Right? That's right.
And,
that's right.
And well, and this is like 5 years in hindsight. So I've had this long to like walk through this with God, but it was just really helpful to me because it won't be the last time, right? You or I in my life, we go through something tough and we have the wrong foundation. Right.
Yep.
And I think that's when I start to feel let down by God is I have forgotten who he is, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. That's so true. I love that you're sharing this, like the character of God and how, you know, where do we find out who God is? Like right in his word. And then the Holy Spirit, like reveals to us, it's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It reveals to us who we are and who God is and even, you know, gives us wisdom on how to even view the world. I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, I think 12, verse 13, he says, Jesus basically warned of a time that sin would be rampant everywhere. And he also said, in many people's love, like believers' love will grow cold. But then he added this, he said, he who endures to the end will be saved. And I just think that's one of the coolest verses. Like we can't endure like without him. We can't keep this love and this flame, this fire for God and the love that we have for him nice and hot without him. So what we need to do is like, I think the key, one of the keys is in Romans chapter 12, verse somewhere in there, but don't be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just like you said, how do we keep our mind, you know, in tune with who he is and who we are in him and not necessarily our outward circumstances and what we're going through. But it's always easier to say that than whenever you're actually going through it. I come alongside you, Rebecca, when you share that, like you've been in these moments, like every single day I have these moments where I don't feel like a child of God. I actually feel like an orphan and I'm acting like an orphan. But at the end of the day, if we can keep our mind on Romans chapter 8, verse 15, like you are his child. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Children don't have to earn their parents' love. You know, children don't have to fight for attention. It's just there. He's with us. My son, my beloved, whom I'm well pleased. He's saying that to us today because we're in Christ. So I just want to encourage somebody with that. Yeah. Like, man,
so
he sings over us, Zephaniah says. He's literally singing over you today if you're in him. Man.
That's so good. So good. Okay. There's something else that when I was reading about the book, I thought, okay, we have to talk about this because this is just not something that I feel like we shed enough Biblical Truth on, and that is
Yeah.
how self-love culture can
Wow.
become toxic. Okay, you talk about this in
Absolutely.
the book, and I want to pose a really challenging question to you, and we're not going to have all
Okay.
the answers, but it's like, how do we balance like caring for ourselves well, setting boundaries with living a sacrificial life, right? Like
Wow. Yeah,
both
that's
can be
really good.
true, but when we look to the world and what the world tells us to do, which is self-love culture, we
Yeah.
do see that that road can lead to toxicity. And so how do we balance that with sacrificial living? Like what does that look like?
Absolutely. That's such a great question. And I'm constantly thinking through this because, of course, we're living in a day and age like we love
We
ourselves, right? Like
love
social media,
us.
we love, everything we got going on, this and that. But at the end of the day, I really think that the Lord has been ministering me in ways where, like literally the love that we should have for ourselves should come through the love that God has for us. I think like these moments that I have where it feels like at times, especially coming from my past, where I was so egotistical, I was so self-centered. It was about me, 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 and I was miserable. But when I came to Christ and I realized how weak I was and how much in need of Him I am, and when I see His love in light of the cross, how sacrificial it is, I can't help but for it just to mark my life to be like, how can, like, the Holy Spirit won't even allow me to like stay on a certain path for too long where it's all about me. It's just like it's this correction, this obedience. And I'm thankful for the grace of God and His mercy for like highlighting these moments that my conscience isn't seared to the point where it's like all about me all the time. Because He always really checks me really quick on things. And I'm just trying to like continue to just see what it looks like to communicate like this. So, I think I love what Ali Beth Stuckey, like, she actually inspired me in so many ways when she wrote her book
She's
about that
awesome.
toxic love for oneself. Just self-reliance over God's power, relying on God's power is just futile. It's literally futile. So, I guess I
That's
would
so
just share
good.
it that way. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, no, that's good. And it's, man, how many days do we not live in a reliance on the Holy Spirit? Like, as if
Yeah.
we can draw
Do
breath
anything.
or do anything productive without
Really,
Him.
exactly. It's a great question. It's a battle every day, like literally, like because now I'm at a place where I'm like a CEO of a company. I mean, I'm getting ready to roll out another book, which is really exciting. Like a lot of times we can like, oh man, you're getting a lot of applause, Rashawn. Like, and it feels good. It feels good. But at the end of the day, I'm always checked by like, hey, Rashawn, are you trying to compete with God for His glory? That's a question I introspectively ask myself every day. Like, are you competing with God for His glory? Or, I don't even want to go to the extreme of like, what about the people now that you're in this position that talk down on you? Are you even trying to protect yourself from the critique of others? Like, there's one side where the applause feels good. It feels great, and we can like idolize it. There's another side where, even the critique is painful and it hurts. Why is that bothering you, Rashawn? And we can like sort of beat up ourselves because of the critique of others. Like, we don't want to be on any end of that spectrum. But who is Christ? He is worthy of glorification, not ourselves, but we should put ourselves to death. Die to ourselves so we can live for Christ. But realistically, it's tough. And we still need to take care of ourselves. I'm not saying like literally out of glorify Jesus, we're going to take care of ourselves, right? Like, because we want to be a living temple that brings Him glory in every single way. We're people of excellence, not perfection, right? We want to do things with excellence, to
Yeah,
glorify Jesus.
absolutely. I heard somebody say something, and maybe this will be helpful to you as you launch this book. And I'm thinking about it even myself as I'm about a year out from launching my first book. And,
Perfect. Come on, Rebecca.
Okay, somebody told me, don't listen to the top 10 or the bottom 10% of anything anybody has to say about you or reviews or whatever. Because the top 10% will make you prideful, and the bottom 10% probably typically don't have your best heart in mind or aren't mindful of like the work that you're doing, and who knows if they even know the Lord and are thinking about your book or your work through like a gospel-centered lens anyway. And so that was just really helpful to me, because their point was the constructive feedback or something that would actually be actionable is going to be in the middle, right? Like it's somewhere between that bottom, you know, 10% and that top 10%. And I just thought that was so good.
So good. So, I love that. Thank you. So I'll just quote you when I mention that.
There you go. Exactly. There you I don't go. Remember there who it go. Was. Yes. I can't take credit for it, but it was somebody way wiser than me.
I love
so,
that.
So I love that. Good.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I'll keep Absolutely. That in mind too. So.
Yeah, for sure. I think that definitely matters right now going into a book launch. So before we let people know where they can connect with you, grab the book, all of those things, there's a question I ask all my guests, and I'm excited to ask you.
Absolutely.
You've listened to a little bit of the show, so you kind of know my heart in it is this idea of radiance, right? And so the show's called Radical Radiance, and it goes back to this verse that God's really used in my life called, or not called, it's Psalm 34:5, and it says, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered in shame.
Beautiful.
So just this idea of when we abide in Christ, the product of that, what happens in us, is we become more radiant, right? Like we see it all through scripture. We think of Moses coming down off Mount Sinai and he's glowing with the glory of God.
Come on.
Why was he glowing? Because he'd been in the presence of God for 40 days, right?
Absolutely.
And so we see this all over scripture. And so the question I love asking is, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
Beautiful. I love that. I love that. And I would say this. There was a time where I think what really inspired me to write the book, No Turning Back, was that I remember there being a time where I did not radiate anything. Any smile I would put on half the time was fake, like literally.
Sure.
And I didn't have the joy of the Lord, which is the greatest joy. I think that is the only true joy, lasting joy. Jesus, you know, he's calling us today not to look back, and to look back is to look away from this radiant joy giver, the one who wants to light up the darkest areas of your heart and soul. And I think where I get mine from is when I seek him with all of my heart, being close to my first love and staying close to him. And when I'm not close to him, because I've wanted to turn back to like the money, or I've wanted to turn back to even making my wife an idol, right? And then when she fails me and she puts me down, or, you know, I put her down because we're just operating in a place that we weren't called to operate in our flesh. We're just mad, we're angry, we're upset. Like, that's when I'm least radiant. But when you can find yourself seeking the Lord and asking him for guidance in everything, I only want to put my eyes on what glorifies you. I only want to speak on what glorifies you. I only want to touch what glorifies you. I only want to listen to what glorifies you. That's when I think the overflow of radiance just shines so brightly, when we're looking at the one who radiates that light. So I would just say that, sister, joyfully leave what's familiar and move forward into what God has for you, and you'll radiate so much joy.
Amen. That's so
yes,
good.
Ma'am.
Okay, before we head out, I want you to share with everybody, where can they connect with you? Where can they grab the book? Well, they can grab the book anywhere, but tell them where they can connect with you and be a part of all that you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Rebecca. So Instagram, you can hit me up on the gram, or TikTok. I've been doing some fun videos where I go up to people randomly and say, Jesus is king, yes or no? And then they have to respond. And like Target,
so cool.
Walmart, it's really fun. And probably just anywhere you can connect with me, Rashawn@blessedmedia.co. So is my email if you ever want prayer or encouragement. So thank you, Rebecca, so much.
Awesome.
You are such a joy.
Well, Oh my gosh, I love this so much. And I'm so excited for you as you launch this book into the world. So everybody go grab a copy of it. And Raishan, I'm just so grateful for your time today. Thank you for being with me.
Thank you. God bless you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Raishan as much as I did, and I hope you'll go grab a copy of No Turning Back wherever books are sold. Now, next episode, I'm so excited to share our quarter one episode of all of our guests answering the same question: what about Jesus makes you radiant? We will have that compilation episode for you next, and I can't wait to share it with you, so join me then.